I'm your, as ever, delighted host, Dawson Church, and I share with you breakthrough therapies, breakthrough techniques, breakthrough tools. I often interview distinguished scientists, academics, researchers, and practitioners on the latest in health and healing. I just love these techniques because there are so many powerful techniques we've discovered in the last 20 or 30 years that can make a radical shift in your health and well-being. They affect not just your emotional health and spiritual health, but your physical health as well. And I'm going to talk about a collection of these techniques that I put together in a format that allows you to really reshape the way you handle relationships. Now, I've been working on relationships for the last 5 years or so because they are one of the areas in which people can experience so much love, so much intimacy, so much depth of connection, so much emotional support. Relationships at their best are wonderful. They are so nurturing, stabilizing, life-transforming. However, the sad reality is that when I talk to people, very few people have that kind of relationship. One response I give sometimes to people in my social circle who are single, they say, oh, I'd love to be in a relationship. So I say, well, you know, there are about 60 people in our little social circle here. And tell me, as you look around the couples who are in relationships, whose relationship would you like to trade with? Whose relationship is so inspiring, so great, that you'd switch places with that person? And they say, oh, well, there's, no, they got divorced last year. I don't think so. And they're stumped. They can't think of a single couple they know, that they know well, whose relationship is worth having. Isn't that sad? So of all these people with great potential initially in relationships, all those hopes, all those expectations, all those dreams, all those wonderful experiences, why do they turn sour after a while? I'm privileged to speak at many medical and psychology conferences, and so for the last many years I've been traveling around doing keynote speeches and presentations and programs at these conferences. I've got to know a lot of the leading transformational figures of our time. I won't name any names, but I know many, many people personally who are best-selling authors and at the leading edge of transformational techniques. I can tell you, having looked at their marriages close up, they are in the same boat as all the rest of us. Often they are struggling, and it's really humbling to find a transformational leader who you so look up to and admire, and you think, wow, they're teaching these amazing techniques, they really must have it together. Then you go meet them and meet their spouse and realize they aren't having a good time as a couple at all. And all of the knowledge they have, all of the experience they have, all of the wisdom they have has not been able to produce happiness in their own marriage and their own relationship. And so you find very, very disappointing, disillusioning relationships, not just among every folk, but among those top folk who are writing the inspirational books, who are writing the bestsellers, often who are coaching others on how to run their lives well and run their relationships well. I was talking to a wonderful friend of mine, David Feinstein, with his wife, Donna Eden. They co-authored the book Energy Medicine, and he was joking that they're working on a new book right now called The Energies of Love, and we were working together actually on a book called EFT for Love Relationships, and he was giving me advice and feedback on EFT for Love Relationships as I was writing my book, and I was giving him feedback on Energies of Love as he was writing his book, and he was just joking that Donna and David, they held off writing a relationship book for many years because he said that several couples that they knew who wrote relationship books, who liked them, were famous, well-known, best-selling authors already, after they wrote relationship books, they split up. And he said they didn't want to tempt fate by writing a book of their own. But eventually they did, and I'm happy to report they have a wonderful relationship. I did a little video of them at a recent conference and just sat them down and said, hey, let's talk about relationships. And they sat down right then and there. We did a little impromptu filming, and they are so good together. So David and Donna and Christine and I are so lucky that we're all friends and we have such wonderful, deep, personal relationships with our spouses, with our beloveds. So how does that happen? How are those very, very, very few lucky people become able to create really powerful, potent relationships? Now, I want to talk for a moment, before I get into that, about hormones and neurotransmitters and neurology, neurobiology. Why is this important? Well, it's important because there is a trajectory of hormones that circulates in your bloodstream when you meet a new person. And the reason it's set up this way is for a really good biological purpose. When you meet a new person, you are attracted to them and you have a huge shift in the hormones in your bloodstream. What happens is, as you touch them, you release large amounts of oxytocin. Oxytocin is also called the bonding hormone and the cuddle hormone. And it's not just common to humans or even to primates. It's common to most mammals. For example, prairie voles are a species of rodent that mates for life. And they have high levels of oxytocin. And when they get together and touch each other and rub against each other, when they're in close social proximity, their levels of oxytocin rise. If you ever watch teenage girls bonding and talking and giggling and shopping, you'll see them doing a lot of touching as well. And again, that stimulation produces high levels of oxytocin, the bonding hormone, in their bodies. What's not well known is that oxytocin is actually the main hormone producing the male erection. And this is so unknown, so little known, that when I've told even endocrinologists who study this stuff that this is the case and point to the studies about this, they're amazed. So it has a huge role to play in sexual function and intimacy. Oxytocin, when it's high, you feel bonded to the other person. Not only do you feel bonded, but you actually become blind to their faults. They say love is blind. They say when you're in love, you have rose-colored spectacles on, and you can't see the other person's faults, and you really can't. Oxytocin, when it's high, masks many of the other perceptual cues you might pick up. So you wind up with a person, you're in bed with them, or you're in a relationship with them after 6 months, and you suddenly wake up and say, my goodness, who is this person? This person isn't someone I really feel good about at all. How did I ever get into this relationship? That's because your oxytocin is starting to slide after about 6 months. They were just like that when you met them 6 months ago, but now that your oxytocin level is dropping, love is no longer blind. You can see all your beloved's faults. Those faults were there from day one. But when your oxytocin is high, it produces neurochemical changes in your brain that actually make you unable to perceive them as they are. Instead, you see them through these rose-colored spectacles, and you see them as being much better than they are, highly desirable, and then once you've been with them for a while, that effect drops off. There's a huge surge in hormones, not just oxytocin, but also pleasure hormones, feel-good hormones like serotonin is a neurotransmitter that's very important in a feeling of well-being. So oxytocin is surging. Also, beneficial hormones like DHEA, which is your main cell repair hormone, these hormones are increased. And then harmful hormones, the stress hormones, like cortisol and adrenaline, are suppressed by being in love, by the early stages of a relationship. It affects all of your other hormones as well. Many of these are master hormones, like cortisol controls many other hormones, many neurotransmitters, many kinds of genes, and which genes are turned on, which genes are turned off. Even down to the level of appetite, we find that people who are in love have decreased appetite. They're all wrapped up in each other. They forget to eat because the satiation hormones get turned on in their bodies by this emotional experience they're having. So these massive, massive, massive changes in biology in our bodies when we're with a new person. Now, if that would have lost. If those biological changes were permanent, we'd be in great shape for long-term relationships. Just imagine never seeing your beloved's faults, feeling so good every time you see them, and feeling they can do no wrong, and being so attached to them. Isn't that lovely? Well, unfortunately, while Mother Nature has wired our bodies to have massive increases in these hormones and in these experiences early in a relationship, the effect doesn't last. And at about the six-month mark, those hormones start to shift. Now, it's not exactly 6 months. You can't set your calendar by this one. But within about 6 months to 12 months, and usually at the very, very most, 18 months, our hormones are back to normal. We have habituated ourselves to this new partner. We have a habit of being with them. They're old news, and we no longer feel an intense attraction. Just like new couples have sex all the time, and then their sexual frequency drops dramatically as they have been together for a while. So usually at the year mark, sexual frequency drops off. At the two-year mark, it drops further. At the five-year mark, it can be very, very low. And actually, sexual frequency is one of the indicators of a couple that will stay together. There's a direct correlation between sexual frequency and longevity of marriages. So that's something you may want to bear in mind. And the reason that this is so is that Mother Nature likes experimentation. Mother Nature likes random mutations. That's the way species evolve. There are two genes that come together, and usually the results are predictable, but sometimes there is a random mutation thrown up, and some new characteristic emerges in an organism that's really, really useful to evolution. One example is the opposable thumb. You or I can grasp a rail with our thumb going around one side and our four fingers around the other side. So we can pick up a cup, for example, using that opposable thumb. Our thumb pivots on the basal thumb joint around in an arc that allows us to lift things, that allows us to make tools. Those tools are far more useful and powerful than our natural teeth and claws might have been. So with our opposable thumb, we could make Stone Age tools and evolve. We could learn to catch fish. We could learn to hunt game far more effectively than running after the game and trying to catch with our hands was. Once we were able to make knives, spears, and arrows and bows, we became much more effective predators. And so that opposable thumb was the key to the increased survival of our species. So that very first random mutation that threw up an opposable thumb was a very valuable mutation to Mother Nature. Other primates don't have that. If you look at a monkey grabbing a bar, they grab it with all four fingers and their thumb all in the same direction. They don't have the ability to shift that thumb around, rotate that thumb around, and grab it from two directions to pick up a cup or grab a spear or chip flint away to make a knife. So these random mutations are really useful at driving evolution. Mother Nature loves these random mutations, and when a couple gets together and has a baby, there's a possibility that there'll be a mutation, and that mutation will be really useful. Most mutations are not useful. For example, if a child is born with a different skin color, like, for example, an albino, that's just a random mutation that's neither here nor there. It happened, but it's not going to contribute to the survival of the species. But that opposable thumb, that very, very rare instance when there's a useful aspect, that mutation, Mother Nature loves those kinds of shifts. So what she does is she gets you together, produces this huge hormonal surge, you have sex a lot, you feel really bonded, and then after 6 months or a year and a half at most, the hormonal tide washes out and you're left stranded on the beach. Now, why is she doing this? Why is she letting you down after you've been in the relationship for a year? And what's even worse is now you're in a relationship for a year or two, and after about 2 years, you start to find other people really attractive. So now you meet this stranger, or you see this pair of eyes across a crowded room, and you see this person, and you feel this jolt of energy going through you. Wow, might that be the one? I'm not satisfied with the partner I have now. I see all their faults, I see all their flaws, I see all the limitations of the relationship. What about that tall, dark stranger I'm seeing across the room? They may be the one, and you feel this energy in your body. If you look at the personals ads for people seeking mates, you often hear them say things like, I'm looking for chemistry. And that term, chemistry, is so true. What they're really looking for is they're looking for a fix of oxytocin and serotonin and all those feel-good hormones and neurotransmitters which are only produced by novelty, by a mate in the first few months. They don't endure. So what Mother Nature does is to get you to mate and possibly create a useful mutation. She'll have you drawn to a person, but then after 6 months or a year or 2 years, have you drawn to another person. And so the evidence from archaeology shows that our ancestors, 100,000 years ago, 200,000 years ago, they used to mate with lots and lots of different people over the course of a lifetime. Monogamy, as we know today, was not practiced. And we can tell this by the biological record of these early hominids, that they would mate with a large number of people. Again, really for Mother Nature's plan to create new potential genetic mutations, but really bad for you and me trying to create satisfying long-term relationships. You are wired to not do that. You are literally biochemically set up and neurologically wired to respond to novelty and transience in your relationships, not to respond to having long-term relationships. So you know, though, after you've had 3 or 4 or 10 or 50 of those brief relationships, little flings, you know how really emotionally unsatisfying that is. And now you're ready for a long-term relationship. How do you do this? I call this hacking your hormones. And how do you use these known hormonal cycles to your advantage rather than anything else? So I've been gathering methods, gathering techniques for the last many years that people can use to create good relationships. As I mentioned earlier, relationships can be so incredibly nourishing, so incredibly fulfilling, so nurturing, and for most people, they're living hell. So I figured I can make a big difference in the lives of many people if I can give them a few things they can do to turn this around. Now, it turns out there are quite a few things, concrete actions you can take to hack your hormones, and several of them I will be demonstrating and discussing in the course of the next while. So how can you, knowing that you're wired this way, knowing this is your biology, how can you consciously shift your patterns of programming, shift your patterns of behavior, and have a different outcome in relationships? I have put all of these best methods together in an online course called Tapping Deep Intimacy. Tapping Deep Intimacy. And my goal in this program is to have people learn the techniques that will actually shift their hormonal responses, shift their neurobiological responses, and foster long-term relationships. There are a few things that you can do that are really potent. One of those, for example, that we talk about in the Tapping Deep Intimacy course is active listening. We teach you active listening right near the beginning of the course, and it's one of the real fundamentals of a good relationship. I know one of my motivations for putting the Tapping Deep Intimacy course together was seeing so many of my friends be stuck in bad relationships or bad marriages, and also seeing them get divorced. I know that some of the kids that were caught up in those divorces suffered terribly. Divorce is extremely traumatic for children, even if it's polite and civil, and very few divorces are. Most divorces are the opposite of polite and civil. People wind up doing things, saying things in their divorces they would never think of doing in their regular course of their lives. So as I watched people go through the tragedy of divorce, and I watched the absolutely awful effects on their children. I've been so saddened by this. I thought, if only they knew a few skills, and those skills are now built into the Tapping Deep Intimacy. And in Tapping Deep Intimacy, you learn 12 essential skills over the course of a 12-week program that will predispose you to good relationships. The reason why it's a 12-week program, not a 2-week program or a 6-week program, is because it takes that long to shift the wiring in your brain. In a groundbreaking piece of research done in the 1990s, a Nobel Prize-winning researcher called Eric Kandel showed that if you pass a signal through a neural bundle repeatedly for an hour, the number of connections in that bundle can double. I'm going to say that again because it's such an important finding. In fact, this finding rocked the whole world of brain science and biology and earned Eric Kandel a Nobel Prize. If you take a neural bundle, the bundle of neurons used to carry signals in your brain, the signals that you use to think, to act, to feel, to learn, if you take one of those neural bundles and you pass a signal through it, pass a transmission through it, repeatedly for 1 hour, the number of connections in that neural bundle can double. Not grow by 2% or 5% or 10%, but grow by 100%. Now, this has absolutely startling implications. And what it means is that as we think, as we feel, as we act, as we send signals through certain neural pathways in our brains, we're actually growing those neural pathways and becoming bigger and bigger and bigger the more we use them. One of Kandel's next research questions was, well, what about ones we don't use? Say, for example, we haven't spoken a certain language we learned 25 years ago. What happens to our vocabulary? What happens to the neural bundles that encode those memories of how to speak that language? And he found that if you don't use a neural bundle, within 2 to 3 weeks, the body starts to dissolve it. The body is very efficient, the brain is very efficient, and notices what you're doing, and it supports you in doing more of that. It's almost like if I were to take the wiring in my home or office. So if, for example, I'm always using line 1 on my phone, I'm never using line 2 on my phone, your body says, gee, Dawson always uses line 1, never uses line 2. I think I'll rip out the wiring out of line 2 and add it to the wiring of line 1 so that line 1 works much more efficiently. So in this way, dynamically, moment by moment, hour by hour, your body is disassembling the circuits in your neurology you don't use anymore and is adding to the circuits you use habitually. So again, send an impulse through a neural bundle repeatedly for an hour, and you double the number of neural connections, stop sending it through a neural bundle, and within 2 or 3 weeks, that bundle starts to disintegrate. So what this means is that you are shaping your brain through the way you think and feel every moment. After a year, after 3 years, after 10 years, even after as little as 2 or 3 weeks of repeating a behavior, repeating a thought, you start to build increased neural capacity to think that thought and feel that feeling and take that action. This works great for you if you are learning golf. I know I learned golf recently. I just practiced that golf swing over and over and over and over and over again, knowing that as I did that, I was building up the neural capacity around that golf swing. When I began the golf lessons, the golf pro I was learning from told me, I'm going to teach you a golf swing. There is absolutely nothing in a golf swing that is inherently natural to the way the human body moves. This is a completely learned skill. You have to learn this totally unnatural movement and make it completely natural to you. And it felt really awkward for the first few practice sessions, but now I think about golf club and pretty much without thinking, I can do a good golf swing. Why? Because I built the neural capacity to do that. Now, what has been happening is that other parts of my brain that aren't being used, maybe the ones where I tried to learn Dutch 10 years ago, those ones are falling apart. This is really important in online programs like Tapping Deep Intimacy because you want to make sure you stay with the program long enough and with enough focus to really not just learn those as superficial skills, but to embed those in the long-term neural surface of your brain. That's why Tapping Deep Intimacy is a 12-week course, 12-week online course, where you learn these things so well that you actually begin to reshape your brain, and you're taking old dysfunctional relationship behaviors that maybe you've had for a long time, and you're completely revising them, and you're implanting useful, adaptive, functional new relationship behaviors, not at the level of your thoughts, not the level of I believe this is a good idea, but literally at the level of the wiring in your brain. What that means is that when you now, for example, see a new person, sure, you feel that rush of oxytocin, you feel tempted to leave your mate and be with this new person, but you now have built new neural capacity around knowing what it feels like to be with the person you're with and make that relationship feel good. You start to think smarter. You start to think much more wisely about your relationships. So if you're single and you're learning these skills, then you break the trance of your old behavior. If you're single, maybe you've gone from relationship to relationship, never being really satisfied, always coming up short, and you've established really clear behaviors around relationships. You know what good chemistry feels like. You know what you want. You know how you get into one. You know the kind of person you're drawn to. With the skills in this course, we shift that to the kinds of behaviors, the kinds of perceptions that are good for you, that are useful for you. One of the women who took this course, who took to learn the skills in this course, she was looking for a soulmate. She'd been through a series of really unsatisfying relationships. She was in a had done several different dating services, and she'd meet people, but it never really worked out. She learned the skills in this course, did a whole bunch of reformatting of her hard drive and her brain, so she no longer had those old dysfunctional circuits firing. She now had positive ones around self-care, around self-nurturing, around self-love. So she was no longer attracting or getting involved or getting interested in men who were abusive or who were neglectful or did things that were harmful to her. She'd been through relationships, but using these skills, she then realized she could build a whole new neural network. She did, and she suddenly realized that one of the guys in her office was really incredibly nice, warm and good. She'd been working with him for 5 years and had never thought of him as a potential relationship partner. Once she dissolved her old conditioning, once she was able to see clearly, once she was not driven by those hormonal factors, she realized that he was the love of her life and they'd not been together for many, many years, incredibly happily. So she broke her old trance, implanted new neural signaling, and really revised her life. We're going to a break right now, but please stay tuned. I'm your host, Dawson Church. You're listening to Soul Medicine Radio. We're talking today about Tapping Deep Intimacy, the 12-week online course. We just covered the whole idea that your hormones drive a lot of your behavior, that when you're with a new person, you have high levels of hormones like oxytocin, the bonding hormone, and serotonin, the feel-good neurotransmitter. So you feel these feelings, you think you have chemistry, but then after about 6 months or 12 months, the levels of those hormones start to drop, and you then think, what was I thinking? Who am I with? I'm with the wrong person. And you realize as the levels of those hormones drop that you've just been driven by that chemistry rather than making wise choices. We also talked about how doing this was really useful in evolutionary biology. Mother Nature loves to see genes being spliced and diced. She loves to see new combinations thrown up and new possibilities emerge. But having your brain wired and having your endocrine system, your hormonal system wired for these brief relationships is really unsatisfying for most of us. We're drawn to the wrong people. We're often drawn to the same kinds of dysfunctional relationships. We're in over and over and over again. So you lose one person, leave one person, and then you find another person who's dysfunctional in exactly the same way. And it's because of you. It's because of conditioning you've got about who you're attracted to, how you're wired, and how your hormones work. But those kinds of biological predispositions can all be shifted and changed, and there are a few simple skills that will shift them. The goal of the 12-week Tapping Deep Intimacy course is to shift them permanently, to shift them not just for a brief part of your life, it's to actually rewire the way you do relationships, the way your brain is set up to perceive relationships and act in relationships. It is phenomenally powerful that draws on the latest in brain science and endocrinology to actually reshape the way your brain functions in relationships after 12 weeks. So these are skills and tools you'll learn for life. I also mentioned earlier that part of my motivation for creating this course was just the sadness I felt. My heart was just sick sometimes seeing friends of mine get divorced, and I thought if only they knew a few simple skills. I mentioned active listening. Active listening is such an important skill. If you cannot listen to your partner, then your relationship is highly unlikely to be successful. You absolutely must learn to listen. Now, listening means suppressing your emotions when they get out of hand and you want to talk. Because often when our partner starts talking, we get triggered, maybe we get defensive, and we start to interrupt, we start to say things, and that old, dysfunctional dance of relationship takes over. So being able to sit there, and even if it's not easy, even if it's not effortless, even if it's unpleasant, you have to be able to sit there and listen to what your partner says, because active listening is a foundation for relationships. So we teach skills like active listening. We also teach many mechanical skills, just biological things you can do in your body to shift you. And I'll give you an example of one right now. So try this little experiment with me, which we teach you way early in the Tapping Deep Intimacy online course. We wanted to have the skill because we know it can make a huge difference to your emotional responses. I want you just to notice what your tongue feels like right now. Now, most of us, our tongues are rigid much of the time, and often they're pressed up against our upper teeth or against the roof of our mouth. So I'd like you to tune into your tongue, feel your tongue. Now, I'd like you to relax your tongue and let it just sink gently to the floor of your mouth. Keep your tongue relaxed. Nice, soft, relaxed tongue resting on the floor of your mouth. Now, keeping your tongue relaxed, I want you to think about something that bothers you, something that makes you mad, something somebody did. Could be a relationship partner or a spouse, could be a business associate, but think of something that makes you mad, but keep your tongue relaxed, and try and get angry with your tongue relaxed. Now, what you're finding right now is you can't. You cannot get angry or upset or emotionally triggered with a relaxed tongue. Whenever you get emotionally triggered, your tongue gets rigid, and whenever you make your tongue relaxed, you can't get angry. This is such a valuable skill. Try this when you're in traffic next time around. Try this when you're in the middle of an office meeting that's not going well. Try this in the middle of a difficult conversation with your daughter, your son, or your spouse. Try relaxing your tongue. And you will find if you can keep your tongue relaxed, you won't get angry and you won't get triggered. And if you're not emotionally triggered, then you don't do or say the stress-driven things that lead you to make poor choices. This one little skill can be so important, and we teach this early on in the course. This doesn't require much in the way of awareness, doesn't require any training, doesn't require that you have any set of beliefs, doesn't require any spiritual discipline. All you do is relax your tongue, and bingo, you're out of that emotional reactivity zone. What a powerful thing. This little tool I just told you can totally shift the way you do relationships. Just that one physiological action can make a big change in your relationship. So we teach you not just this one skill, we teach you a whole host of vital skills like this in the Tapping Deep Intimacy year-long course. The website, by the way, is www.tappingdeepintimacy.com. T-A-P-P-I-N-G, tappingdeepintimacy.com. That's where you can find out more about the online course and about what is in each of the 12 modules and how you can sign on, be part of the group of people that's taken it. You'll also see a video there that is such a wonderful video. I love the video on that page because part of the video is a couple of minutes of people talking about what their lives were like before the course, and they talk about things like how they're so disappointed in relationships, they just don't think there's really much hope for them anymore. Their whole sense of trust is gone. Or they talk about all of the devastation they've experienced in relationships. Or they're in a marriage and they say how stale it is after many years. Then, a few minutes later, we have a two-minute clip of those same people saying, I've learned to trust again. My husband and I are like newlyweds again. They talk about the absolute transformation they experienced in the course of taking Tapping Deep Intimacy. One of the very earliest experiences I had of the power of the 12 simple skills we teach you in this 12-week online course to affect relationships happened when I was giving a demonstration at a bookstore when I was doing my book tour for one of the books I'd written many, many years ago. And I asked for volunteers, and I would often get people up to the front of the room and do demonstrations with them in the course of the book signings so they could see just how potent these techniques were. I tell the story in the introduction to Tapping Deep Intimacy, and this man, who I call Josh, came up to the front of the room, wanted to work with me, and Josh was really a nice guy. You could tell when he talked about his marriage, when he talked about his life, that he was just a fundamentally decent human being. But he had a problem. His problem was that he had decided that he wanted to get a divorce. He'd been married to his wife for close to 30 years. But they'd been going to couples counseling for the previous 4 years, and after all of these weekly sessions, after spending all this money, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on these couples counseling sessions, Josh had come to the conclusion that the marriage was just not going to work. And so the reason he was standing up there in front of the room and doing a session with me, his wife wasn't there, only Josh was there, he said, I need to tell my wife that the marriage is over and I want to get a divorce. I don't know how to do it. We've been together so long. I'm so afraid of hurting her. I don't know how to have the conversation. Can you please work with me so I can become strong enough to just level with her and tell her it's over? And the whole room was kind of sad. Everyone in the room was looking at Josh and me, and everyone was kind of bummed out by this scenario. So I said, okay, where do you feel that feeling in your body when you think about your wife and think about talking to her about ending the relationship, ending the marriage? He said, I feel this sensation in my heart. So I said, tell me about a very early experience where you felt that same physical feeling in your heart. And Josh said, well, I can think of one that is strong. That's when I was about 5 years old, and we were in my dad's car. My brother was in the back seat with me. My dad was driving, and my brother and I were fighting. And my dad told us to stop. So we did stop for a while, then we started again. And then he told us to stop, and he was getting mad. So we stopped for a while, then we began to fight again. My dad reached around, turned around, and just clobbered me across the side of the head. He was so angry with me. So I did some work with Josh on this. I used one of my favorite techniques, which is EFT tapping. We tapped on his level of distress, and all of that feeling in Josh's heart melted. So we worked on a couple of other events from his childhood as well, but this was a big one for him, having his dad clobber him when he was 5 years old in the back seat. So all of the emotional intensity of that early childhood event went away after we did EFT tapping on the event. I then said to Josh, so talk to me about your wife. And Josh said, well, you know, I really love my wife. I have a lot invested in this relationship, almost 30 years, and it's not time to pull the plug now. There, we have so much going for us that I need to persist and stick with it. Now, my jaw could be heard going thunk on the ground. It's like, I couldn't believe it. In fact, no one in the audience could believe it either. There was people looking at him. Everyone was stunned as they stared at Josh and thinking, look, you came up here to work with Dawson on this problem of how to tell your wife you had already decided to get a divorce. That was your problem. Now you're talking about how you've got so much going for you in the marriage. I mean, what happened there? Now, what had really happened was that Josh's triggering was not about his wife and wasn't about now. It was about his childhood and it was about then. And no amount of therapy working on the wife and now could solve the problem of the dad and then. So what we train you to do in this Tapping Deep Intimacy online course is go and find the old emotional roots of your problems, usually in childhood. They're not always in childhood. Sometimes there are things like a really bad divorce in your adulthood. But almost always, they're deep in your childhood, and we train you to go and find those. Part of the course also is 1 year, one entire year, of live coaching calls with me. Every month, I get on the phone with people. We do a live coaching call. People bring their heartbreak, their sorrow, their battlement, their stories like Josh into the calls, and we work with them live on the calls. We work with you on the things that are bothering you right now. These calls are incredibly powerful. We will have hundreds of people sometimes on those calls in tears because they are so very powerful. We also offer a bunch of bonuses. So I have friends like John Gray, who wrote Men from Mars, Women from Venus, friends like Gay Hendricks, who's written many books on relationships, including one of my favorites called Conscious Loving, Gay and Kathleen Hendricks. We have bonuses as well in the course from people like Gay and Kathleen and people like John Gray. So we have a lot of material there from other people. But these live coaching calls for 1 year are designed to cement these relationship change skills in your neural network permanently so that when you finish the 12 weeks, you keep on acting and behaving in ways that predispose you to good relationships. So this works if you're in a relationship. If you're in a relationship, you can revive an old marriage, an old stale marriage, an old marriage in which nothing fresh or new is happening. Once you learn to hack those hormones, you can find yourself having the same kind of blissful falling in love experience with a new person. That same experience would have a new person, you're now having that with your mate, maybe who you've been with for many, many years. So if you're single, this really works because you aren't going to be repeating the mistakes of the past. You'll come to relationships with new eyes and new skills, and you have a radically discontinuous experience of relationships and path and trajectory you were before. So please go to the website, take a look at www.tappingdeepintimacy.com. Click on yes and sign up and join us for the next program. We'll be starting the next live coaching call shortly. We want you in the program. We'd love to have you there. Please make sure your relationship future is full of all the juice, all the joy you know is possible for your relationships and not just a repeat of the past. Thank you. I'm Dawson Church.